part of it. And so we want to know the truth, because when we follow the truth, it'll set us free. And that's extremely important. Last time we talked about the fact that Jesus said, I didn't come to bring the world together, I came to divide the world. Now that surprises some people. Everybody thought Jesus came to bring peace and all these kind of things. He said, I came to bring a sword. Now how can that be, since Jesus is love? Very simply because he said, I'm going to divide the world, and there's going to be those that love me and appreciate me and are going to be in heaven with me on one side, and there's going to be those that are going to be separated from God and be separated from him from forever on the other side. So Jesus came to separate the world. When he comes the second time, which he said, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. And what he was talking about was, he said, I'm going to separate the people that love me from the people that do not love me. And he said, then we're going to start all over again. And there's going to be 1,000-year reign of Christ and so on into eternity. But we can talk about that another time. But what I want you to know, that Jesus is doing that today. He's separating the world. It's very clear. He is actually, what he's doing, those that oppose Jesus and refuse Jesus Christ, he's making them stronger in what they believe. And those that love Jesus Christ, he's bringing them closer to him. So that's what's going on today. If you want to know why the world's in turmoil, the financial market's in turmoil, and all these things are going on, I can tell you very simply, it's because Jesus Christ is dividing things. Are you listening to me? Yeah, there's divisions in a lot of ways. There's some people that want a one world government, and so actually they've brought this whole financial mess about because they want to bring all the world under one big financial network. They want to bring the one world under a one world government. It's very interesting. Things are changing extremely quickly. 2 years from now, there will be no division probably between Canada and the United States and Mexico and the United States. It's all going to be one. They're working on it right now. That's a new cell phone that I was just presented with. It says something very interesting in the instructions. It says, if you call long distance, it's going to cost you 5 more cents a minute, except if you call Canada or Mexico. And then it's just the same as if you were talking in the United States. They are preparing to build a large highway from Mexico up through Texas and right up into the United States. And you won't have to have, if you're from Mexico, you will not have to have a United States driver's license to drive a truck in the United States of America. That's happening as we speak. These things are taking place. Jesus said these things would happen. He said in the last days, the various things are going to happen. We've been talking about this, and we're seeing it right before our eyes. I don't think it's going to be long before Jesus comes for his church. Now, when I say I don't think it's going to be long, it could be 2 years, could be 5 years, it could be a little longer, but that's not long when you figure eternity. It's very quickly. And for some of us that are older, it's going to be quicker yet, I think. But the issue is that decisions have to be made before you die. You can't make decisions after you die. It's already done. It's settled. It's forever. And so you have to make a decision now, or you're going to come to Christ now, or you're going to be separated from him forever. There is not much time. Things are happening quickly. I believe the Lord has told me that he can save anybody out of anything if they'll come to him. Anybody out of anything if they'll come to him. I believe that's a fact. And I know it's a fact. I know what he saved me out of. And he saves us to make us holy and without blame before him in love. And we've talked about that. And it does make a difference what you believe. There's a lot of people that believe false things that believe that they're real and they're living that way, and they'll be without God forever. It's a sad thing. There are some people that believe that when you die, you come back as an animal, as a cow or a chicken or something. And when you die, the chicken dies or the cow dies, you'll come back as something else. I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference what you believe. There are some people that believe that the spirits of your ancestors come and visit your house once a year and live with you for 3 days or something, and then leaves again, and you won't see them again till the next year. I'm talking about spirits of people that have died. You laugh at that, but whole nations believe that stuff. They believe that stuff. It makes a difference what you believe. You may think God doesn't care about you, and you might think that God doesn't care what you think or what you do, but I have news. God knows your thoughts, He knows your actions, He knows everything you do, and He cares about you. Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on Calvary, that we might have eternal life. It says that in the Word. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to stake my life on what Jesus Christ said, not what somebody else said, or Uncle Joe said, or anybody else. It's what the Word of God says that is true, and that's what we have to stand on. You see, if you're standing on Jesus, the whole world can fly apart, and it's not going to make an ounce of difference to you. You see, it doesn't make any difference if you're standing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because nothing will move Him that happens on this earth. Are you listening to me? And you can believe anything you want to, and God will not stop you from believing it. You know, some people believe, you know, if I just believe the long way, God's not going to let me go to hell. You know, I can just believe God's not going to do that. He's a loving God. Well, you haven't read the scriptures, you see. And so people believe all kinds of false things. There was an interesting thing. God created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden. He taught them every day in Bible study. It says so in the Word of God. Go back in Genesis chapter 2 and you'll find that. It says Jesus met with them every day and they had a Bible study in the cool of the evening. What do you think He was teaching? He was teaching the Word of God. He said, if you stick with this, you stick with me, you're going to be alive forever. Well, that was a promise of God. He said, you got all this beautiful place, and it wasn't just a little garden like you find in Rockford. This thing was miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of garden. It was a beautiful thing. It had everything they needed in it. They didn't have to do anything but just gather what they needed. That's all they had to do. And God said, there's only one thing. He said, there's only one thing. It makes a difference what you believe. He said, the only thing that's going to mess this up is believe a lie. I said, the only thing that's going to mess this up is to believe a lie. The only thing that messes up our lives is to believe a lie. That's the only thing that can mess you up. The only thing. And so He put two trees in the garden. He said, very simply, eat this tree, you'll live forever with me. Eat of this tree and you will die. He said that very simply and very clearly. Because man has a free will. Free will had to be tested. God made us free agents. We can believe what we want to. And He said you can eat of that tree or not eat of that tree and so on. And so Satan came in the garden and he said, did God really say? He knows that if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be like God. That was a lie. If they eat of the tree of life, they're going to be like God. You see, he lied. And so they ended up, they eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the minute they did, they died spiritually before God. They died spiritually before God. And so it made a difference what they believed, because they got removed from the garden, put out into the world just like us. And now they said, you're going to have to live, and you're going to have to provide your own food, and you're going to have to do this stuff. And they said, the only way that you're going to come back to God is through a blood sacrifice. Made it very clear. So you think, well, they'd learned something by now. So here you have Adam and Eve, and Cain and Abel come along. They have two sons. And if they were smart parents, which I think they were in some ways, they taught their children how to sacrifice to God. So the day comes, they're older now, they're responsible to God, they're old enough, and they brought a sacrifice to God. And Abel brought a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and because there's life in the blood, and when we turn from God, it's like we die, and the only way we're going to come back to life is through the blood, but actually not of an animal, but of God. So Cain and Abel bring their sacrifice, and Abel brings a blood sacrifice, and Cain brings some grain and fruit from the field. And God said to him, why did you bring that stuff? He said, you know the right sacrifice. It has to be a blood sacrifice. So he gets mad and goes to the house and hides in the closet. And God goes right into that closet where he is, and he says this. He said, don't you know if you do right, you'll be accepted? Really, we would say if you believe the right thing, you're going to be accepted by God. But he said, if you don't, at the door, sin's lying there. And if you believe the wrong thing and do the wrong thing, you're going to open that door to sin, and it's going to bring destruction in your life. That's what he said. Now, we all have that opportunity. We all had an opportunity. I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was a teenager, I blew the whole thing. I opened the door wide. I probably had a double door and invited the devil in. And it was not a good thing. And the only thing that saved me was the Word of God in a little Baptist church on a Sunday night in 1970. When I heard the Word of God, and this preacher always preached about Jesus. He was an old farmer from Texas, just loved the Lord. It's all he talked about was Jesus and the sacrifice on the cross and all the things that Jesus did. And God did something to my heart that night and pulled me out of that sin and set my feet upon a rock. And that rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's come to separate the lost from the saved, the lies from the truth, the blessings from the curses. That's what he's here for. And that's what he's going to do. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Get your Bibles out there. Let's look in here. If you don't have one, look at somebody else's. Share with the one next to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. I'm going to talk about something called strongholds today, and it's different from demonization in a sense. It's something that's extremely important. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's the word right there. Instead of strongholds, you could say fortresses in your mind. You could think a way of thinking, a system of thought in your mind. That's what a stronghold is. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or the truth of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that says is the enemy works on your mind. The enemy works on your thought life. The enemy wants to bring to deception to your life, just like he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. He deceived them into believing a lie. So it's possible that you and I can believe a lie. They believed a lie right into a perfect environment with everything they needed. A lot of people believe if I just had $1 million, just had everything I need, then I'd be okay, I'd be at peace. I have news. That's a lie from the devil. The only place you're going to find peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the living Son of God. That's the only place there's peace. That's the only place there's life. Everything else is death. I went to my mother-in-law's yesterday and looked in the yard next door. And then yard next door, they had three tombstones. These were fake tombstones. And they had a skeleton that was half in the ground and half out of the ground. And you would look at it and say, oh, it's just Halloween. It's just decoration. Doesn't mean anything. You know what it means? It means death. Yes. It's a spirit of death. And you're putting a spirit of death on your yard, on your house, on your family, on your kids, on everybody that visits your house. It's a spirit of death. It's a lie as opposed to the truth of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to put something out in front of your house, put an old rugged cross, you see, with blood running down that post into the ground. And that's a picture of death that brought life. That skeleton is going to bring death that brings death eternal, you see. There's a difference. And it does make a difference what you believe. And there are ungodly belief systems in people's lives. I'm going to tell you the truth. I used to do the same kind of junk. Before I got saved and understood the truth, my son one time, who's kind of an artist, made my basement look like a funeral home, and at Halloween, and he had caskets in there and fake bodies and all that junk, and we thought, oh, how creative he is. It was right out of the pit of hell, right in my house. It makes a difference what you believe. You're either going to have a mindset of life or you're going to have a mindset of death. You're going to have either death in your life or you're going to have life in your life. You're going to speak either life out of your mouth or you're going to speak death out of your mouth. You have to be careful what you say, because we just read we're to bring every thought and every word unto the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you find life. Whatever you speak out of your mouth is going to come into your life. It's not complicated. These strongholds are very similar to demonic activity, but not necessarily the same thing. There's some very good people that have wrong thoughts in their mind and in their head, and this is often happen because sometimes people are taught lies while they're growing up. I always remember my dad said, you can't trust anybody. He kept telling me that over the years. You can't trust anybody. That's not true. That's a lie. My dad was teaching me a lie. He never realized. He thought he was helping me, but he was teaching me a lie. He says, you never trust anybody. And so I grew up believing you don't trust anybody, you see, until I get the truth. It's when people believe things contrary to the Word of God. It's when you believe something that is opposed to the Word of God. You believe a lie. And then if you believe it long enough and speak it long enough and live it long enough, it becomes a part of you and it captures you in this thinking that will bring you to destruction if you're not careful. So you have to think for yourself. You can't believe everything everybody tells you, because some people have an idea the best thing for the world is to have a one-world government, and we know it's going to be ruled by the Antichrist. And it's going to bring destruction to the world. And there's some, quote, good people that believe that kind of stuff, and unfortunately, there's too many of them in Washington. You see. So when we build our thinking around things that are not true, then we're setting up a stronghold in our mind. You know, Hitler believed in ruling the world, and he proceeded to do that. But you know why he wanted to rule the world? So he could remove every Jew out of it. That was his reasoning for conquering the world, to kill and destroy all the Jews, man, woman, child. How many know that was a false stronghold in his mind? You see what I'm saying? We would say he was deranged, whatever you want to call it. He had a stronghold in his mind that his goal in life was destroy all the Jews. We have nations today that believe that same thing. And the Bible says that the Jews are God's chosen people. So who is right? But you see, it's possible for a whole nation to believe a lie, and eventually will destroy the nation. We had people in our financial markets that believed a lie, and the lie was, just sell houses to anybody, whether they can pay for them or not. It's not a problem. You know, it won't hurt a thing, and it's totally destroyed the financial markets. They believed a lie instead of the truth. Because the Bible would say, don't buy anything you can't pay for. Amen. You see, it was opposed to the truth of the Word of God. And that's why this mess happened. People, well-known people, rich people, millionaires believed a lie. And you say, they ought to be really smart people. They're rich. Well, not really. Not really. Faulty reasoning in their minds. We grow up with that many times. You know, we're poor, we're always going to be poor, and there's no way we can be anything else. That's not what the Word of God says. God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. You see. And so it makes a difference what you believe. You know why? When people go to prison, you know, most of 80% of them end up back there within a year. Why is that? Because they just enforced all the lies that they had. They're in there with a bunch of people that believe lies, and so they're taking on, and by the time they get out of there, they can't do anything else but do things that they've been taught. Are you listening to me? Because they have this system of belief in their mind that they can't make a legitimate living doing the right thing, so they're going to do the wrong thing, which is the only thing they know to do in their minds, instead of coming to Christ, being lifted out of that situation. And you know what a lost person is? It's a person that doesn't believe the truth. That's what it is. And that's why you need to study the truth. Some people get saved and they never read their Bible, and they wonder why they get messed up, because they didn't take the truth in. When you get rid of something, you have to fill it with something else. You see, when God saves you, you have to fill your mind with the truth, because you've been believing a lie. Or you'd have come to Christ a lot earlier. Are you listening to me? The only reason we don't come to Christ is because we believe a lie. Will he believe God's not relevant, God's not important, God doesn't care about this world, and God doesn't care about me? There's a lot of people who believe that kind of stuff. I always say you have to crawl over Jesus to get to hell because he loves you. Are you listening to me? He doesn't want anybody to perish, the Bible says. Not a single person to perish. People get in trouble because they believe a lie. They believe something that's opposed to the Word of God. And therefore, that's why they get into these kind of problems. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that. Look in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you exactly what God says about the whole situation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. My goodness. Almost time to quit and I haven't got started. Oh. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, but I'm going to tell you this is important to just take a little more time and you listen to what I'm saying, not because it's me, it's because it's right out of this book. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God, that means his anger, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they really know deep down in their heart there's a God. They really know that the Bible is true, but they're not living for it, and they're living opposed to it. And because of that, let's go on down to verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. In other words, instead of believing God, they start to believe something in nature. They bow down to trees. They bow down to animals. They bow down to whatever instead of God. And because of that, they're lost forever. It goes on. If you read that whole thing, you ought to read. It says they just got all messed up in their life. I'm not going to get into all of that. But you know what the Bible says? It's so simple. If you wanted to categorize people that are opposed to God, this is what they're like. They go out into the woods and cut down a tree. And they cut that tree in pieces. And they have a large piece here, and they cut that in half, and this half of that wood, they build a fire and cook their food. With the other half of the wood, they carve out an idol and they bow down to it. Now, how stupid can you get? They take what God made and worship it instead of worshiping the God that made the tree in the first place. That is dumb. I was dumb for 33 years until I got saved. And I saw the truth. And I saw there was somebody above the tree. His name was Jesus. And I found out he's the Savior. The tree can't save me. It can provide heat for a little while if I make a fire, but it can't save me. It can't change my heart. It can't change my mind and what I think, you see. And so it's important that we understand that if you do not come to Christ, you are opposed to Christ, and you're going to believe a lie and live a lie and end up in a place where those that believe the lie go, and that's called eternal hell. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, that doesn't make me so smart. It just makes me wise in that I knew what to believe. I came to that point. I knew what to believe. But I didn't believe it. It was a gift of God. I received Christ, and he put in with me the ability to believe the Word of God. You don't have that ability unless God gives it to you. And the only way you get it is come to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and God will give you the ability to understand the truth. You see, he gives you the ability. It's a gift of God. It's not something that originates with us. It originates with God because the truth is in the Word of God. In fact, the truth is God himself. So the truth, Jesus is the truth. So if you want to know about the truth, you have to know about Jesus. And you have to know what he believes. Now, I'll just tell you how people get strongholds in their mind, even in the church. When I first got saved, there was a bunch of elders there and deacons and all these people, and I thought they were next to God. I really did. I thought, boy, these guys are smart, and I don't know anything, and I just got saved, and I can learn from these guys. Well, the first thing they told me was, now you got to be careful of these Pentecostals. That's really what they told me. Now you have to be careful. I thought, whoa. What are they going to do to me? And it really was that kind of a deal. And they drilled that into my head that you don't listen to those Pentecostals. Then if you went to some other church, they'd say, don't listen to those Baptists. They'll mess you up. Don't listen to those Presbyterians. And they told me don't listen to anybody else, and I found out that nobody has the total truth. You have to get into the Word of God, because the Baptists took a little bit of the Bible, and the Pentecostals took a little bit of the Bible, and the Presbyterians took a little bit of the Bible, and they got that in their mind. It's a stronghold, and they can't believe anything else, and so they decided that everybody that didn't think like they did was bad, and they're talking about God's people. So I said, there's something wrong here someplace. After a period of time, and I find out there's Presbyterians in the Bible, and there's Baptists in the Bible, and there's Pentecostals in the Bible. And I said, God, I want the whole shebang. I don't want to miss anything. I remember one time we had a meeting, and somebody dared pray for the sick. And there were some in there that we don't pray for the sick in our church. Well, they prayed for this one person. They got healed. And one of those preachers came down the aisle and he said, forgive me for not anointing with oil and praying for the sick in my church. Get in the Word of God and find out for yourself. Don't believe what I tell you. Believe what the Word of God says. And I'm going to tell you right now, there'll not be one Pentecostal or one Baptist in heaven. They're all going to be Jesus people. Yes. Are you listening to me? We ought to be loving folks instead of trying to get somebody to stay away from them. We ought to get every information. I can learn from the Pentecostals. I can learn from the Baptists. I can learn from the Presbyterians. They all got a little piece of it. But I told God a long time ago, I want the whole thing. I want the whole enchilada. Right, Alex?
Yes, sir.
That's it. And that's a fact. I want the whole thing. It doesn't make any difference to me who doesn't like it. It doesn't make any difference because Jesus loves it. Are you listening to me? I love that song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Let's sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Isn't that neat? Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't care what kind of label you got. He's interested in who you believe. And he's interested in what you believe. It is so important. A lot of us grew up learning things from our parents and others that were not the truth. We believed a lie. The only way you're going to know the difference is get into the Word of God. It will separate the lies from the truth. That's what the Word of God does. Jesus is a separator. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't think there'll be a little house up there in heaven that says Pentecostals, and a little house says Baptist, and a little house says something else. It's going to say one big word over the whole thing, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. We're to love God's people. You know, we are to love God's people. And we shouldn't, I wouldn't tell anybody not to go to Faith Center. I wouldn't tell anybody not to go to First Assembly. You know, go where God wants you, but labels don't mean a thing. They don't mean a thing. Do they teach the Word of God? Do they teach the whole thing? Do they teach the truth? Do they receive anybody? You know, there's this church over here doesn't accept anybody who's been divorced. This church over here never accepts anybody who's been in jail. This church over here never accepts anybody that was in a homosexual lifestyle. This church over here never accepts anybody who doesn't believe exactly the same way they do. And that's why the church is in a big mess. They can't get together and do anything. And that's why this nation's in a mess. You know, I went to a dinner Thursday with about 50 other preachers, and at that meeting was the Winnebago County Sheriff, somebody that represented the mayor, the chief of police of Rockford was there, somebody represented the lawyers here in Winnebago County, and somebody represented the school board. You know what those guys said? And there was one, there happened to be all men in this case. You know what every one of them said? The statistics say that Rockford has the worst crime rate in the state of Illinois. It's got the highest unemployment. It's Rockford is a mess. And you know what every one of those people said? They were all Christians, or at least talked about Jesus. I don't know if they're all Christians or not. But every one of them said, we need the church to pray for us. We need the church to stand up for us and pray for us in this city, or it's going to get worse before it gets better. Are you listening to me? So they tried to have a citywide prayer meeting, and well, I'm not going to go for that group's over there, and I'm not going to go for that denomination is there. Are we crazy? You see? And so I know one thing, out of this place, we'll love anybody that comes. And we'll try to help them if we can. Regardless of what they've been in, or what they are in, or anything else. We'll try to help them. Can't help everybody, but we try. Because I'm going to present one thing to them, not a denomination. I'm going to present the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Yes, sir. That's a very good question. The reason they don't is because the Supreme Court of the United States has ignored the Constitution of the United States. And they have said that you cannot have various things in, you can't have Christian things in public buildings and public schools and anything that public, which is all wrong. The Supreme Court is wrong. You can be smarter than they are if you know the truth. Are you listening to me? Because they have mindsets in their mind that has ignored God, and they make rulings according to man and not according to the truth of God. And that's the reason. But we can pray, and God can move on things and start changing it around the other way. Are you listening to me? It makes a difference what you believe. That's the reason. You see, well, it's a long story. I hate to get into all of it. There's certain states now that are beginning to rebel against the United States government because the United States government has infringed upon the rights of some of the states in cases where they have ignored the Bill of Rights, particularly in the Constitution of the United States. And because we have elected officials that are not Christians, we have appointed, we haven't, but the presidents have supported, appointed Supreme Court justices who are not Christians, and therefore they believe man instead of God. Yes. Yes.
And that's all it is foolishness.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes.
And these pastors, we got to pray for these pastors.
Yes.
Because they have the guts.
That is correct.
To do it.
Yes.
And one thing I can tell you, we can pray for Rocco. A little story. In 1989, I was in California, and I asked my brother to buy me a house here in Rocco. Of course, I didn't know what he was doing or where he was going to do it, but when I came to the wild side of town. It was God designed. I hope it is. Because I'm right in the middle of the shootings and everything else that happens around. I'm not in the worst part, but it might as well. Last night we were all sleeping, and it was about 10 minutes to 1 o'clock. And you could hear the heavy guns, you know, almost a block away from where we are. And then you hear one like a 22 caliber, you know, against probably 9 millimeters. And all of a sudden, Myra was nervous, and my little ones, they turned on the lights, and you could hear the police. I mean, coming almost 5 seconds after the clock, they came all over the place. But what I want to tell you is this. It doesn't matter where you are. When Jesus is calling you, please answer that call.
Yes.
Because tomorrow doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him.
Amen. Okay. Wow. Getting really late. That's all right. No problem. I'll finish this next time. I thought I was going to finish it today, but I'll finish it next time. I got a prayer to pray for strongholds, and we're going to pray that next time. I don't want to take any more of your time today, but I just want you to know it makes a difference what you believe. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in where you work. It'll make a difference in your family. It'll make a difference. So let's stand before the Lord and I sense the Spirit of God in